Tonight, for a little time, I want to speak to you on the subject, when the church prays. Now, from verse 3 of this chapter, we learn that Peter and John had been arrested and had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Sadly, this is still happening today. We're living in sad times. After the trial, then they were commanded by the Sanhedrin not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 18. And this highlights the persecuting spirit of the religion of the day. And really, that is what's happening with governments all over the world today. They're trying to put a muzzle on the preachers of the gospel. There is much opposition at this present point of time. And we need to be much in prayer that God would be pleased to maintain the liberties and the freedoms that we have enjoyed to continue preaching the glorious message of the gospel. Then in verse 23a, we can see that their freedom was restored, because it says here, and being let go. That speaks then of their release. Then their fellowship was renewed, for it says they went to their own company, verse 23b. They didn't go back to their home or where they lived or where they stayed. They went to church instead. And they shared their experiences with their fellow believers. And here we have the principle set for deputation meetings. From time to time they have people coming along, missionaries and evangelists, and they come to share their experiences with the local congregation to bring matters to the congregation to pray for the work that they are engaged in. So we have this kind of thing here before us in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. So verse 23c shows them giving their report. And then in verse 24 we're told they lifted up their voice to God, indicating that their focus was resolute. Because instead of being discouraged, they looked to God for help and they held a prayer meeting. That's their response. Nothing strengthens the hands of the church or the people of God like prayer. And you may have come to the house of God tonight and you feel like Naomi did when she came back from the land of Moab. You feel empty. Sometimes we do feel like that. Well, here is a remedy. Here is a solution for you. Prayer. Engage in prayer. Get to God in prayer. And what we have before us is one of the great prayer meetings recorded in the Bible, and it is a good example for us to follow as the people of God. One author I read yesterday said that Peter and John had just come in from the trenches. You understand the terminology there? And the church met to pray in order to defeat the enemy. And maybe some of you have been in the trenches. You've been in a terrible conflict and you've come to meet with the church, and we're going to pray tonight for the defeat of the Lord's enemies. And we want to pray tonight for the vindication of God's truth. When the church prays, certain things happen. Number one, when the church prays, the presence of God is perceived. Well, where do I get this from our Bible reading? We're told in verse 31 that the place was shaken where they prayed. Now, sadly, it's got to be acknowledged that the church has not experienced much of this lately. I'm talking about the church generally. But maybe it is applicable to this church and our sister congregations, our sister churches. Sometimes we need a good shake-up. And that's what happened here in the book of Acts chapter 4. I know from my own experience, that's what I need at times. And I think you're a little bit just like me. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying something that is true. From time to time, we do need a little bit of a shake-up. Sometimes we get into a rut. And it's very hard to get out of the rut. And so God came to the church. The early church was being blessed of God. It had its problems, it had its difficulties and setbacks and drawbacks. And the Lord just came and he gave them a shake up. And this expression symbolizes God's active presence. God was showing to them that he was with them. A similar thing happened in Acts chapter 16, verse 26. And these both incidences are associated with prayer. Remember Paul and Silas? They had been beaten, thrown into the prison, and at midnight they prayed. And what happened? The foundations of the prison were shaken. And the shaking was a symbol of the divine presence of God, a token that prayer had been answered. God gave them a token that their prayers had been answered. It was God letting the church know, I am with you. I have everything under control. That's really what the shaking symbolized. That's what the shaking indicated to them. I am in control. I am with you. Never forget that, child of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we're told that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord. And in the margin of my Bible, it is sound, or it could be translated noise. It was a token of the presence of God. Now, I don't know how God revealed himself on this occasion, whether it was like a wind blowing through the trees in the garden, or a voice, whatever. There was a noise, there was a sound heard in the garden, indicating to Adam and Eve that the Lord was present, that he was there. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 2, I think it is verse 2. As they gathered in the upper room, they heard a sound. And that sound indicated to them, I am with you. I have come. I'm here. I'm in your midst. And there was certainly a stirring in those times. Remember again another instance there in 2 Samuel chapter 5. After David had been anointed king over all Israel, the Philistines heard about this, and immediately they organized an attack against David, and he prayed about what to do, and the Lord showed him what to do, and he had great victory. But then the Philistines came again. That word again is used in that chapter. And he inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord says, I don't want you to go up this time. I want you to do something different. And David did what God told him to do. And the Lord said, the sign I will give to you, you will hear the sound. It's the same word. You hear the noise in the mulberry trees. When you hear that, that's an indication I'm with you. And it says, bestir yourself or shake yourself up. Give yourself a shake. Remember Samson when he was asleep? And then he awoke out of the sleep and the Philistines be upon you. And he shook himself. And he had victory on that occasion when he shook himself. And maybe the Spirit of God is saying to you and he's saying to me, you need to shake yourself. You need the help of God. You need God to come. You need to hear his voice. You need to hear the sound. You need to have that indication from God that he's with you. But then you may say to me, isn't God always present where two or three are met in his name, Matthew 18:20? Yes, of course he is. But God's presence, but God being present, doesn't necessarily mean that we are always conscious of that, that we always perceive his presence. You take, for example, Genesis chapter 28. God came down and he converted Jacob. And in the morning time, you know, God's servant said, surely God was in this place, and I knew it not. Yes, the presence of God was with him, but Jacob didn't perceive it. Now, we can come to a prayer meeting, and the promise of God is, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. He's here. We can't reach out and touch him right now, but he's here. I can sense him here. But the point is, can you perceive his presence? Can you sense right now that you are in the presence of one who is infinitely holy? That you're taken up with him? That you're in the Spirit ready to pray when I give the invitation to pray? Oh, it's very possible on occasions that we do not perceive the presence of God. A past generation, old timers used to talk about the felt presence of Christ. The felt presence of Christ. The Lord came down to young Samuel in the tabernacle, and he spoke to that young man, and he thought it was Eli. He didn't recognize the voice of God. And sometimes God speaks, and we fail to recognize the voice. Sometimes he says something to us, and we may not believe it, or we may not incline our hearts to believe it, because we don't necessarily want to hear what he has got to say. But he is speaking. He is speaking. Mark my words, he is speaking now. God is here. His presence is here right now. We are in the presence of God. And then Samuel was instructed by Eli. And Eli is a surprising man. He never really was much of a spiritual man, but he gave the young fellow some good advice. Speak for thy servant heareth. It's a good thing to respond in the same way. When the church goes to its knees in earnest prayer, the presence of God is perceived. And suddenly we know that he's with us. Immediately we know that he's working with us, and he's moving and he's answering prayer. Have you sensed that of late? Oh, it's a wonderful thrill. It's a wonderful experience when that happens. When the Lord draws graciously near, they prayed with one accord. This phrase is found 11 times, at least in the book of Acts. Division hinders prayer. It robs the church of power. United prayer is the kind of praying that shakes the place. We need a minister. We have been praying for a minister. We need to get before God as never before. Pray together. Have united prayer. Division hinders prayer and robs the church of power. We need God to come. We need his wisdom and his grace. We need the kind of prayer that shakes the building. You understand what I'm saying there? Their prayer was based upon the word of God because they appealed to Psalm 2. That was the basis of their prayers. In the word God speaks to us, then in prayer we speak to him. So when we come to the prayer meeting with plenty of ammunition, we can talk to God for a long time. But in a public prayer meeting, keep our prayer short. To the point. Keep the prayer meeting alive. Don't let the devil get in. True prayer is not telling God what to do, but it's asking him to do his will and to do his will through us. So when the church prays, the presence of God is perceived. In the second place, I don't think I'll get through this, so don't worry, I'm not going to preach long. I can bring it some other time. Second thing is, when the church prays, the power of God is received. And when they had prayed, listen to it, when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Things began to happen after they prayed. There was a response from heaven after they prayed. The place was shaken and the people were stirred. After the Spirit came and filled them, the Spirit filled all present. They had been filled on the day of Pentecost, but the church cannot operate on a past experience or past experiences. The church's experience of God must always be fresh. Every new task demands a new filling. One author I read today said, there had been a filling on the day of Pentecost, but the church can't run the fumes of a previous fill-up. They were now experiencing what Peter had already experienced in verse 8. He had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had been filled on the day of Pentecost. A new challenge, a new day, a new task, a new anointing is needed. The psalmist was able to pray, anoint me with fresh oil. That's something I pray all the time. Are we praying that? Are we facing the challenges of every new day with a fresh anointing from God? The Spirit will give us wisdom to deal with issues. The Spirit will give us grace to deal with situations. And as we are led of the Spirit, then he will lead us and guide us, and we will make the decisions that are in agreement with the mind of God and according to the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. The content of prayer shows what kind of praying results in the fullness of the Spirit. In verse 24 it says, they lifted up their voice to God and said, Lord, it began with the Lord. There didn't seem to be any kind of panic at this time. Yes, these two men had been in prison. They had been threatened. They're now in the prayer meeting, but they're not panicking. They're not overwhelmed by what they had experienced. And that word lifted is an interesting word. It denotes a loud cry. But it was not the cry of panic or fear. It was a reverent cry to God. And the word translated Lord here is a very rare word. It's a strong word meaning despot. You know what a despot is? One who rules with absolute and unrestrained authority. This is where they started. They started with God, the Lord. They looked to heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They got their eyes on the Lord. That's where they started. Not with the threats of the enemy or the problems they faced, but with the absolute sovereignty of God. Now our land is in a terrible state. Things are happening today that maybe 15, 20, 25 years ago would never have happened, or we never even dreamed could happen. Let's not get caught up with the threats and really what's going on, but let's get above these things to God, the God who has everything under control. They got in touch with the Creator God because they acknowledged Him as the God who made heaven and earth and all that in them is. And they were having some problems with some of those people, all that in them is. They were having problems with the religious authorities. The members of the Sanhedrin were creatures as God was Creator. But they looked beyond the creature to the Creator of all things. They got their eyes upon the God who made all things out of nothing by the word of His power. That being the case, there's nothing He can't resolve for us or do for the church of Jesus Christ today, because things don't change. God never changes. They got to the invisible one. They recognized Him then as being in control of all things. The kings of the earth stood against Christ. They were gathered together against Christ. And what a congregation, what a host gathered against the Son of God. And these words gathered together found two or three times in verses 26 and 7. The whole world seems to be against Christ. Is that not the case? The apostles wanted God to vindicate truth. They wanted Him to vindicate the gospel that was preached. What did these enemies of God come together to do? Listen to it. They came together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God was in control of the situation. Now, for whatever reason, what's going on here behind the scenes, God was in the thing. He was allowing this to happen for a reason, for a purpose. And we look around at our country today, and we may throw up our arms in despair, but I want to tell you something. God has a plan in it all. Because we're not the people we used to be. And the Christians today in our country are not the Christians they used to be in olden times. Not that the people in olden times were perfect. Far from it. But how things have changed down through the years. Attitudes have changed. We permit things that years ago would not have been permitted. We do things that years ago would have been frowned upon as a people of God. We're living in sad times. And God knows that, of course. And God allows certain things to happen. He has ordained it all for a purpose. We may not understand it or see it. But He's in control of every situation. In your home, in your family, in your work, in your business, in your health issues, in your financial issues, and everything else. God is allowing whatever is happening there for His glory and for your good ultimately. You didn't ask God to move them to a more favorable place, by the way. They simply asked for more of what got them into trouble in the first place. They asked for boldness. They didn't ask God to have their circumstances changed or to have their enemies removed from office. Sometimes God does step in, as He did in Acts chapter 12, and He removed the king, the persecutor of the church, and He released Peter. He did that. There are times that God does that. But that was really not in their thoughts at this particular point of time. Rather, they asked God to empower them to make best use of the circumstances and to accomplish what he had determined. And Phillips Brooks said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks." Isn't that a good statement? The point of prayer is that they would have boldness and continue speaking the word of God with power that Christ might be glorified. In their prayer, they brought a fresh supply of power down upon the church. They acknowledged God as sovereign and submitted themselves to his divine purpose. And I will not go to my third point. I will just end with this comment from E.M. Downs. And if you have a chance to buy any of E.M. Downs' books, little paper copies, there are quite a number of these books, you should buy it. Very good stuff. It will do your heart and soul good. Listen to it. "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or new, more novel methods, but listen to it, but men," and we could put women in there as well. He's using that term men in the general sense, "but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer for the glory of God." So what happens when the church prays? The presence of God is perceived. Then in the second place, the power of God is received. And then finally, but I'll not go on with this. When the church prays, the purpose of God is achieved. So they've been in prison. They've been released. They've gone to the prayer house. They've prayed. They've got their eyes on God. And after they've prayed, the place was shaken with the power of God. And then the Bible says they went forth and they spoke the word with boldness. They got what they asked for. They got boldness. When the church is filled with the Spirit, it will speak the word of God with boldness. When you think of Acts 4, what brought the church in Acts 4 to its knees? Opposition to the gospel. Opposition to the gospel. There is a little animal from Africa called a gnu. It's spelled G-N-U. So I think that's the right pronunciation. I don't know. Gnu. And when it's attacked, it falls on its knees and launches its attack from that position. And that's exactly what the church did here in Acts chapter 4. The church got to its knees and launched its attack from that position of power, and they prayed. And then you can read the rest of the book of Acts. Barriers were broken down, illnesses were healed, buildings were shaken, cities were evangelized, lives were changed. The power that was made available was through Christ. The source of the power is God. The agent of the power is the Spirit. The result of the power is changed lives, changed cities, changed towns. The method by which that power was experienced was prayer. What a prayer meeting it was in Acts chapter 4. It would have been a powerful thing to have been there. We would have been awestruck in the presence of God. That's what happens when the church prays. The presence of God is perceived. The power of God is received, and the purpose of God is achieved. I got it right this time. May God bless us as we come to pray tonight. Let's all seek the Lord together, please. Get down before the Lord, throne of heavenly grace. Let's all pray together. Could I ask your brother Lyndon, Andrew Lyndon, brother, would you please lead us off in prayer? Keep our prayer short and to the point, and as many as possible join in to pray, please. Thank you.